My body is ready.
All right. Well, this is going to be an absolute nightmare. What's going on, everyone? This is the 11th podcast? I'm not sure. I just numbered. But this is our pre-E3 one. This is the second time we've done something. That's kind of fun. We haven't really ever had an anniversary or something. But yeah, E3 is, since we're recording this on Thursday, what, 10, 11 days away? Or the press conference at least 10?
Yeah, something like that.
So right around the corner. So that's fun. Expect an E3 twist on this, because I guess that's the first podcast we ever did revolved around what we thought E3 was going to be. And this one is definitely going to be, speculating about it will be just as interesting as last year's, although last year's did not follow through on any of that, but still. So as always, Andrew's here with me.
Hey, hey.
And rather than draw this out any longer, let's just jump straight into whatever we've been playing. Andrew, what have you been playing?
Well, I beat the old Catherine a little while back. I believe you were there to watch it.
Yeah, we both beat Catherine. It took a while. I remember it vividly.
It was a funny experience, is what I'll call it.
Sure, yeah, that did not come easy.
It was a strange game, different from what I usually played, and I think I'll agree with you on your point that it was a good game to play when you feel that you really have nothing else to do.
Sure, and it's like you can gain something. Like I said, it's like the moral it put forth. It's kind of neat. I mean, the gameplay, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just not like some kind of paradigm shift in gaming. It's good for what it is, but it's like a Qbert clone, basically. So, you know, you can't look too much into it, but definitely a fun game, and thought it was pretty well made.
Oh, yeah, same way. Good game, worth mentioning, but
sure,
that's about where it ends. But other than that, that's been about the sum of what I've played. Everything else has just been getting by, as they say.
Yeah, I've noticed you've been playing Skyrim.
Yeah, I popped it in. It was just something I was like, I guess I've never really done anything besides the sword and shield aspect of the game. So I tried doing a bit more, starting out with some magic and archery and stuff like that. It was fine, but it was really, you know, you get a little taste of it, and then you realize that, yeah, I've done everything already.
Understood.
What have you been cracking into these days?
Absolutely nothing, to be quite honest. Other than I think I played some Smash Brothers with Travis, played some Catherine with you that day. I've been playing, ever since me and Billy went to that Zelda concert, I've been trying to replay through the Wind Waker, which I'm, you know, a little ways through. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah?
But even then, I'm only on like the second dungeon. I have not played it that much. I don't know, it's a drought for games. I don't know any major releases coming out for a while. I can think of one I'm excited for, but major? No, not really. This is usually the time where I would fall back on a Halo or a Battlefield, and I don't think I'm really playing a multiplayer game. I mean, I'm playing NFL Blitz, but no one plays that. I don't know, Mass Effect 3 kind of fizzled for me, and that was what I was planning on spending my time with. But that's as good a segue as any, because let's bump onto the news, and the first thing, this just broke today, next week, Tuesday, I guess, the same day that Harley Quinn DLC comes out, Mass Effect 3, another multiplayer DLC. What's it called? What's the pack called? Do you know?
I want to say it's called something like Resurgence or something like that.
No, that was the first. Rebellion, that's it.
Rebellion
pack. And it's the same thing. 3 new weapons, 2 new maps, and technically 6 new classes. It's free, which I did not expect. I got to be quite honest. I did not expect it to be free. But are you excited for this in any way? I mean, at all?
I mean, I'll say right now, I agree with you. I was reading the little news article about it, and I was expecting the entire time looking for a number as to how much it would cost.
Exactly.
Like, okay, how much is this thing going to be costing me? But since it's free, I mean, that's at least willing to download, but
sure,
I don't think it'll go beyond downloading it, trying out the new maps, at least seeing what the other classes are and what they offer, and then that's it. You spend an afternoon, an hour and a half, figuring out what it is, and then it's over.
And that's really the problem, and I could fix it. BioWare, call me. I'll fix your multiplayer. It's the unlocks. Get rid of them. They're stupid. I don't like them. If you want to do the unlock, that's fine. But you should not have to unlock stuff again. Let's say it's credit-based. So I unlock this new character. If I want extra colors or something for the character, I should use 2,000 in-game credits or whatever. This whole play the game for 2 years and maybe you'll unlock everything is stupid. I don't enjoy it. The gameplay's fun, but it just becomes kind of grindy, you know? If you want to unlock stuff, you pretty much have to grind for credits because the chances of getting the stuff you need are so low. It's really, I think, kind of poorly done the more you play it. I enjoy the multiplayer. I think it's, but see, I think I'd be more inclined to play it. Actually, let me go ahead and touch on this because this is how I had a thought last night. I've always wanted to play a different ending of the game just because I really didn't want to play the ending like sequence again just to remind myself, do I hate it as much as I think I do in my head, right? So I do that, and I put the disc in, and then I think, this is pointless, because if I'm not playing multiplayer, I cannot get the ending I want, because my war assets aren't high enough.
Mm-hmm.
So it, like, kills the incentive for me to want to replay it. I played that game once, and you know how big of a fan I am.
Oh, yeah.
So that's got to be a... That's bad. It's very strange how I don't hate the game. I thought it was a pretty good game, but I have no desire to pick that game up in any regard whatsoever. It's very weird, because you'd think I just was just so crushingly disappointed crying about it, but I'm actually just kind of indifferent. Like, yeah, that was a good game, and it just sits on the shelf.
Yeah, I think you've voiced the mass opinion right there. It's
nice pun.
People get through the game, and they don't see it as like a Frankenstein with picking up the pitchforks and torches.
Exactly.
But they have no incentive to want to play it again. It's just not worth doing that over again.
And I guess we want to get into the ending again, but it's not like it just is so disappointing to me that it's like, oh, I can't relive that ending again. It's not that. I don't know. I don't know what my beef with it is. It's just, I guess I wasn't satisfied enough to play it again. I haven't even something I don't really do, fish for achievements. I did it with both the Mass Effect games just because I wanted to play them. I've played those Mass Effect 1 and 2 over 20 times. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I've played this with once. It's a multiplayer. It's very strange how, I guess, I feel about the game. And I think, if you look, you don't see anybody playing it, really, in our group of friends or anything like that. So I think it's kind of a common opinion. I guess looking at this multiplayer DLC, I might be more interested to get back into the game and replay it again once this extended cut comes out. And I want to see what that's all about. Because I definitely do want to see that. I'm interested. But enough about Mass Effect 3. We could talk about it all day. Here's something that we talked about just 2 weeks ago. And it was funny because as soon as we did the podcast, you mentioned the next day. Because it was basically, we were talking about Bioshock Infinite had been pushed to 2013. And we were talking about how the holiday season is just becoming kind of barren because it's four big games that apparently nothing can touch. And everybody else gets scared and they're all pushed forward. And so you basically have a 6-month thing where it's just games all the time where it just should be spread evenly. But I get ahead of myself. Literally a day after the podcast, I believe, Tomb Raider is now delayed. And a week after that, Devil May Cry delayed. Both of those into, I think, Devil May Cry's January, Tomb Raider's first quarter 2013. So we're getting a 2009 situation, just an absolute logjam. So 2009, it was Assassin's Creed 2, Modern Warfare 2, and Uncharted 2. Those were like the three kind of big games. Left 4 Dead 2 snuck in there too, but those were the three big games then. And then you had a few games like Batman kind of snuck out ahead of them in August, I believe. That's correct? Yeah, 25th.
Yep.
So then you get games like Mass Effect and Bayonetta and other Darksiders pushed to the next year, which is just, once again, more games to buy. I don't understand. So let's just go down the list now. Tomb Raider, Bioshock Infinite, Devil May Cry, Aliens Colonial Marines, Metro Last Light, the sequel, XCOM. All these games are now pushed to 2013. I mean, I understand the idea of the Aliens game, another shooter. I can understand the idea there's some cannibalism. I play shooters, but I only have enough money for Borderlands 2 and Black Ops 2. I get that. But here's my problem. That happens, and now look. Now, once E3 happens, we'll get a clearer picture. But I don't know what games are forcing these out. Assassin's Creed 3? Is it that big? Apparently. Black Ops 2? Is it going to be that big? Halo 4? I mean, to me, what I'm seeing is November is the season, or the month, that's just so slammed full. But in front of that, it's kind of slim pickings. Darksiders 2, Borderlands 2, I'm drawing a blank. What else is there before November? I can't think of, I know I'm sure I'm missing one, but honestly, this whole trend of big names, because what it's basically telling me is eventually there's not going to be any kind of originality. Only the big games can make it because everybody's scared of these huge releases. And I don't understand it because my whole point last year was Modern Warfare 2. Bayonetta just came out in October, which was beyond all that. I'm thinking, I don't want to play that. I want to play Bayonetta. That's the point. If you know there's a niche market for it, then a release date shouldn't really matter because niche markets usually have more hardcore fans. It's kind of like the idea, even though Batman was a big success it's the idea that a Batman game should be scared to release around these other games, where I'm thinking, you're not just getting people that like Axioms. A Batman fan's not going to care. It's going to trump playing this generic shooter. I don't understand this fear of selling a game near Call of Duty. I don't get it. And it's really kind of killing the flow of games, which really doesn't happen until September or so. So it's basically making this drought even longer. It's feast or famine, basically, which is just not the way it should be.
You know what I might speculate that it is?
Please, anything.
I think I might speculate that it is actually poor management on the game industry's part as to why these things are getting delayed or pushed or changed or switched. And
how do you mean?
Some of these companies, they're higher up, so they're management people, don't know how to make a project. They don't know how to get something going and keep it or keep it in place.
That's a good point, because I think two good examples are Dragon Age 2 and Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City. Those are two games that, from all I've heard, were just forced out. It's all about making money at the higher-ups. Like you say, that's what it's all about, which I get. But there needs to be some kind of liaison between these people where we can say, okay, like, the higher-ups should just be say, we need money here. And then it's up to you. I tell that, if I'm in charge of the company, I say, look, I need this game out before this time, Andrew. And this is when because you have to project this stuff. And I know this is what happens, but like you said, it's kind of falling apart. Nintendo seems to be the only one that kind of, like, has games that are trickling out constantly. And, you know, they're rehashes and all that, but still, like, their core franchises, they have them spaced out properly. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You catch these log jams, and I guess I get that part of it, just a disconnect between the business and the creative side of development. But like I said, what I'm not understanding is how they cannot just, I don't know, is it, I'm at a loss of words. I don't know how to describe it. It's very weird to me because this is a lot of games delayed. And it's all happening very quickly, which I'm going to get into it once we go into our next topic because I have a theory.
I mean, all I can really say is all we can do is speculate, but the only thing we really know is that the only person getting screwed over the most here is the gamers. The people who are waiting and playing these games. They're the ones getting...
Fantastic point.
They're the ones getting it for it.
Yeah, I don't know, I guess on the business side, it's really consequence they don't really see, because the last thing I'll say is this, which is a good point you made. If someone plays games for free time, they're free time. I understand the fact there's like a gaming dollar, correct? But if that's one of my main hobbies, I don't have a problem. I don't sit there and think, like, I cannot spend this money on it. Even with other expenditures you may have, it's just kind of like, you can budget in, like, I'm going to have to buy this game. It's just like if you see, my truck just exploded. That's unforeseen. You can't do, but if you have a chance... You can plan ahead to buy different games. So I just think there's just some kind of fear, I guess, in the heads, that an assumption that Halo, everyone's going to buy Halo. Everyone's going to buy this, and everybody's going to buy that. So where are we going to, you know, how are we going to get our hands in that person's wallet? And I don't really think that's the case, because I think the sales you see from that are not people like us. The kids that buy every Call of Duty are different from the person who's like, I'm looking forward to so-and-so. Call of Duty, unless there was some new feature announced in Call of Duty, I don't care. I don't care at all. The flip side, I have bought every Halo game, except ODST, but, you know, I have been a purchase for every Halo game. But now when I read about Halo 4, I don't want to play it. I don't want to play Halo 4. It sounds too much like Call of Duty. So you just can't count on these sales coming back every year. And I don't think you can release your game based on that. All right, we've gone on way too long about this, because we got E3 to get into, and this is going to be a while, because there is a lot to talk about. All right, with that, since nothing happened in between those two segments... Everything went perfect. We're just running right into it. Some technical difficulties. If that beginning part sounds weird, hopefully it's fixed now. If it doesn't, maybe I'll try to fix it the next time.
Maybe.
So, what seems like mere seconds is 20 minutes later, but now we're going to talk about E3 itself. 10 days away, Microsoft, as always, first one. But the current format is everybody except Nintendo does their conference the day before E3. Nintendo is the first day of E3, and it lasts a little longer. Mainly, a lot of huge announcements are going to come the first and second days, which would be the first day of E3 and the day before. But Microsoft, first again, June 4th, 12:30 Eastern Time, 9:30 Pacific. Well, what is there to say about Microsoft? They've been doing the same thing 2 years in a row. 2009 was good. 10 and 11 were awful, though. Like, really bad. Just, honestly, you can see what's coming. They're going to demo Black Ops 2. They're going to demo Halo 4. They're going to talk about Xbox Live, and then they're going to talk about Kinect. Anything else, I don't know. Andrew, what do you have to see to get you out of that rut? Because that's all they're going to... You know that stuff's coming, but they have to show some other stuff to impress you. What are they going to show you?
Yeah, and I'll actually go back to last year's E3 to justify this, where in last year, there was... I think it was GTTV that did the covering for Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And what they had was they had the actual press conference, but in between that, they would have these little snippets of interviews with people on, you know, who weren't debuting their game out there on stage, but they were showing them off, and those were the things I wanted to see. I remember Skyrim was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they talked about Batman Arkham City in one of the breaks, and I think that was the problem, that they had these things off to the side where they should have had them as focal points because they have a following, because they are big games that they're going to make a lot of sales. They're going to show numbers.
See, the problem is for the past 2 years in a row, they've gone the whole, this is what you can only play on Xbox. Sorry, there's not a lot of exclusives on the Xbox. Let's not, we don't care that you get Call of Duty maps earlier. Let's talk about, they need to take, like they did with Mass Effect last year. They put Kinect on. So, you know, Mass Effect 3 is on three different platforms, but I was excited to see it on the stage. Past that, what do you want to see, though? I mean, I get where you're coming from, but what do they need to show you that makes this better? Because we got to all agree, last year's was pretty shitty. It was maybe 20 minutes of okay stuff and then just fluff for the rest of the thing. They need to show some more stuff. What can they show you?
I think they need to show me more on the games themselves, not so much how they're presented. Because this whole idea of like hiring actors to come out there or hiring performers to come out and do things on stage, that's just ridiculous, unnecessary, and a bit silly, to be honest.
Well, that's what they've been doing. And here's what I'm getting at. If you look back to successful E3s Microsoft had, 2008 and 2009 were like really incredible because all they did was announce stuff. So what I'm thinking is, rather than do this whole approach like you can only get it on Xbox and really jerking off Kinect, let's go the opposite way and talk about the stuff that people want to hear about, regardless of if it's exclusive to Microsoft. So here's what we know that stuff is, but here's the thing that I can tell you I guarantee will be there. The Elder Scrolls DLC, Dawn Garbly Skyrim DLC, that will be there. Because it's, remember, they have the exclusivity on the Xbox. I know that it has to be there. And this is what I was getting at with the whole delay thing. I'd bet money on it. Grand Theft Auto 5 comes out this year, and they will show it at Microsoft's. That is what I'd put money on.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I'd respect that.
Because that's the whole, this is what Microsoft did, and it, sure, it's not exclusive, but see, they're so only focused on Call of Duty. They got Fallout DLC, Skyrim DLC exclusive. They did it with the Grand Theft Auto 4 DLC, which is what they, rather than saying, you know, this is the only place you can play Kinect, how about this is the best place to play other games, if that's what they were going to do. And that would be a lot more fun. But here's the best question. It wouldn't be really unexpected to see stuff like that, but something within the realm of possibility I need to ask you. What do you think you could see? Like a surprise. And, you know, not like, I'm not going to say Bayonetta 2 would show up on stage. That's not going to happen. But, I mean, what game would you be surprised to see announced or shown or something shown? Not even just games. What would surprise you? What could they surprise you with?
I think this year the biggest surprise I can think of would be the capability of Blu-ray on the Xbox. I think that would be, for me, the biggest surprise that I could expect. But and I know that's kind of a contradiction to expect a surprise. But
sure.
But when I think of surprises, I'm not seeing a Microsoft game surprise because, to be honest, there's not even an inkling of something game-wise that they could show out that would be surprising for them. They were going to do a surprise of a game. If someone told me you're going to have a game surprise, my first thought would be, what kind of shooter had they not done yet?
There you go. Here's what I'll ask you. If I came up to you with a betting pool saying everybody's going to put $20 in, whoever guesses it right wins the pot, what would you guess? If you just had to say, if I had one suspicion, this would be the guess of a surprise. What would be the one thing come to you?
I think I put my money on Blu-ray on the Xbox.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I'm not seeing another moment like Final Fantasy 13 on the Xbox.
Sure,
I'm not seeing another moment like that.
All right, if I got to put one, and I've been thinking about this because I think this is a definite possibility. I know they're going to talk about that DLC because maybe not on stage, but they said that there'd be more to come about the Dawnguard DLC at E3. So if they do that, I'm thinking my boy Todd Howard's going to come out there, talk about that, but then let's go ahead and tease Fallout 4, which has a good following on the Xbox. It's a possibility. I'm sure you'd like that.
Oh, yes, I would.
That's the kind of stuff that it just doesn't seem to happen much anymore. The bombshells. What happened to that? Because that's what I think is neat about E3. It's not like the NFL draft where shit can be just guessed and You hear about stuff. It's kind of, there's some stuff that's kept under wraps, and the surprise is really neat. I think a good example was the VGAs when they showed off the new way Metal Gear Rising had taken shape. And, you know, I like the way they kind of made it a bit cheesy. Just, you know, who developed it, the idea of Platinum Games was doing. That was a big deal. I like that. I thought that was cool. So I want to see stuff like that from E3. Yeah, there's another. Maybe Rising Revengeance, or whatever the fuck it's called now, will show up there, since that was where it was first announced. Now that it's totally different. Even the year after it, they showed it again. I don't know. That's a good one to show up. Revengeance.
Like I said, I'd also like to see them bring out the people who know what they're talking about. I don't want the performer who's going to be showing off how to play
the
Kinect function of Revengeance. I want to see
the head honcho.
Yeah, the head honchos. Kojima. I want to see Kojima. I want to see maybe somebody that's actually worked in it. Maybe somebody that knows some English. Sure. But somebody that that's actually worked on the game and who can pronounce the names of the characters, or who can tell a little bit about the story.
Yeah, I agree on that. But if I look, because you can look at the past E3, Microsoft stole the show twice, like just the best conference, hands down. And the last two, they've been bad. Yeah. So getting at all that, we'll end it like we did last year. Give it a letter grade based on what you think will happen. Not what you hope will happen, but what you think will actually happen.
I'm going to say C+.
A C+? That hurts. They all got Cs last year because it was so middle of the road. You think we're stuck again this?
Yeah, I think Microsoft, they're stuck in the mud, and they're spinning their tires right now, and I think they need some kind of push to get them out of there, but it's not going to be this year.
I'm going to go B- because I really do think they're going to show something that's going to catch somebody's eye. Surely they know that you cannot come out there and show me kids' games, honestly. That's not exciting to the audience that Xbox has. Like, I get we have to watch Call of Duty. I get we have to watch Halo. I get that. But they cannot think that I want to watch Sesame Street Adventures. It's
or
not...
Disneyland.
Or Disney. Yeah, thank you. Get back to the basics, announce some stuff, and steal some stuff away. Which is like, really, you got to think about that. That's what they did with Final Fantasy XIII. A game that was definitely outsold by the PS3. It was just like, this is an Xbox game. And to the public, maybe that's what it was. Like, oh, I see commercials with Xbox on. This is an Xbox game. That's just kind of the attitude they had at first, and it really worked out for them, especially, and I feel like they got away from that, of course, once the Kinect came out, but Sony had such a few good years back then, and Microsoft was trying to trump them. 2008 was when Sony was gaining steam, and they were just trying to trump them just because they didn't want to lose any ground. And now kind of Sony's slipping, and Xbox, I think for the past 15 months, has been the best-selling console in the U.S., so... They have a foothold now. Maybe not internationally, but here, you know, E3 is, I guess, the biggest conference, really, for games. I don't know, Tokyo Game Show is big, but the idea being this is, on your home soil, we'll say, kind of. It should be theirs to take, I think. I don't know. We'll get into Nintendo, but before we do that, let's trudge through Sony, because, once again, they're doing it, instead of the next day with Nintendo, they're doing it the night of, it'll be 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, June 4th, excuse me. So, Sony. I always feel like I come up hating Sony, which I don't. I don't have no problem with Sony. It's just I have a problem with their conferences. They're very boring. Oh, God, they're boring. Oh, they're boring. God of War Ascension, that's one of their big friends coming. I'm sure they'll keep talking about the Move, the Vita. There's that Super Smash Bros. Clone they have. They'll talk about that some. But past then, I can never really pick what Sony's going to do. Because for a few years, they've had a lot of EA titles, and even Ubisoft, because it was gaining such ground. But now it's kind of like Sony's just, they're not treading water. They're just kind of there. And I don't know. I just feel like Microsoft is more poised to take a Grand Theft Auto 5, even though it started on the PlayStation. I guess I'll start by saying you can expect all that stuff, but what would you want to see? Because we have all the consoles, but I'm decidedly on my Xbox far more than PS3. And it's just kind of a tomato-tomato thing, whichever one you want, and we're just not on the Sony side of wanting it. But it's not like they're trying to convince me to buy a PS3. I have one. So what can they show me and you, because we feel the same way, that makes you say, I need to get this game and fire up the PlayStation?
I think they need new titles. New original titles is what they need right now, or they will fail.
And I don't think they have it, because they've built... Because now, PS2 and beginning of PS3, sure. Past, like, Japanese import games, which they're always going to have over like Microsoft, because they have such a strong presence over there. Past stuff like that, like Japanese RPGs, Sony just... Jak and Daxter, those were good games. Ratchet and Clank, those were good games. But they just kind of sequeled themselves to death. The next Resistance game, really? Okay. These games that were poised to make such a showing really haven't flourished this generation. So I'm not quite sure what they're going to... You know, Twisted Metal kind of came and went when that was going to be one of their big things. Nothing against Sony. Like I said, they do need something original. Because like, there's one thing about Sony. They're not afraid to back a project that's a bit different. Shadow of the Colossus, stuff like that. But, you know, the next Sly Cooper game's not really going to get me excited. Yeah, so I agree with you on that.
Yep, but I also think they need to focus less on the Vita. Even though it's making bad sales, and the general thought would be, if it's making bad sales, we need to focus on it more. I think the problem is you have to focus on it. You have to do the opposite, because that would just be an impulse move. And you need to focus a bit less on it. Focus more on your PlayStation 3, and then the people will follow. They'll see PlayStation 3, I love that. Now you got a handheld system. Get me going with that.
That's a good point, because it's I mean, of course they'll talk plenty about the Vita, but it's kind of a foregone conclusion that the Vita is lost already. Like, unless something drastic happens, the 3DS is just dominating it right now. And I don't think anybody expected the Vita to beat the 3DS, but I believe it was thought that it was going to have more traction than this. And once again, we've discussed this on the forums. Me and you've discussed it. Me and Travis discussed it. Me and Jay have discussed it. It's how do you want your portable games? Do you want to play a full game on the go, or do you want to play Mario Tennis? And for, I think, most people, it's just like, I'm okay with a 3D gimmick. I just want to play this game on the go. I'm not worried about playing Uncharted on the go. I'm worried about playing a little bite-sized game on the go. That's what it's about. And Sony still didn't change that philosophy. And, I mean, they priced it right. The technology, I think, is there. It's just, I just don't think it's... You can hear people talking about the 3DS. You just don't hear them talking about the Vita because it's just kind of a boring system.
Yeah, very true. I think last year they tried to show it off with what they could, and it's just... It was an Uncharted game. I guess that was okay. That was worth, like, talking about. Mm-hmm. But then they did some Little Big Planet Racer, which is...
Yeah, it's just... It's kind of like...
It's about the same as just, like, a downloaded arcade game. You're going to try to put that off as a big deal.
That's the perfect point, is they have a full Uncharted game. Okay, well, that's what the Vita's for. But then you have Little Big Planet Racing. And then I'm sitting here thinking, I just bought this $250 super-powered machine to play Mario Kart clone on. Why don't I just have a cheaper 3DS with a better racing game? They just kind of walk that line, and I just don't think that the Sony franchises can, as I said, put the asses in the seats like Nintendo's can. And I don't think Sony will make another handheld. I don't think they have it in them, because they're kind of losing their ass right now, which doesn't mean they're about to go under, but still. But speaking of new things, I believe they teased a while back about the PS4, but then they backtracked and said they have some big announcement, but it's not the PS4. I don't know if they're just fucking around. But they, you know, Sony was always the one that talked about they wanted the PS3 to last till 2016. But Microsoft's definitely up to something. Nintendo's coming out this year with the Wii U. Sony has to have something in the works. So do you think we see it this year at E3? Yes or no?
I'm going to guess no. That'll be...
No, he says. It's a very interesting question, because I don't know. I don't think Microsoft will, and I don't think Sony will. I think it's next year. I don't think they're that worried about the Wii U. So you say no, and I say no. Here's the thing, though. They say there's something big happening, which will lead in it just like we said with Microsoft. What big surprise do you think they can cook up? Because, of course, it's just random internet speculation, but what big surprise do you think they'll show you? If it's not the PS4, it's got to be something.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to jump into the great unknown here, and I'm probably talking out of my ass, but I have a little suspicion that their big announcement or their big surprise is that they're going to be starting a charging system for the PlayStation Network, but they're going to say they're going to beef it up. That's what I'm thinking. They're going to do a whole Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. We're charging for it now. It's not going to be a lot to charge for, maybe $30 or something like that. But then they're going to say, we're going to add a bunch of new features, or we're going to beef.
So you think they're trying to compete with Xbox Live more directly?
Yeah, that's now, like I say, this is just me. There's been no rumors about this. There have been no articles talking. Mm. There's been nobody mentioning anything like that. But if I was going to guess, because there's nothing else I can think of, that would be my go-to idea.
I don't know. I think they'd kind of get some backlash for that. That would not be seen as a good thing to normal people. But what I'm thinking is it's been going around for years now. But people, just maybe they've convinced Square Enix to remake Final Fantasy VII. Just maybe. Which is just, you always hear that every year, of course. But maybe this is the year. Who knows if that's a big announcement they have. I don't know, Sony, they're always so boring. They don't ever have that big surprise. It's basically like, do you want to see the next God of War game? Here it is. There's no, like, Twisted Metal showing up was, like, the only surprise I can think of in recent memory that wasn't talked about before. So, yeah, Sony, they're pretty, boring is a harsh word, but they've always been pretty boring to me. So overall, just like Microsoft, not hopes, just thoughts, and just a quick letter grade, just so we can compare it later. Sony, what do you think?
I'm going to give Sony a C, solid C, if they have nothing go wrong.
Sure.
If they can get something going wrong, it'd be probably a D.
Okay.
But a C, solid C, if everything's perfect. With their actual conference, I think they're really not going to have games to show off, because they did that last year. They showed off a bunch of these games that were mediocre, yes, but they had games to show off.
True.
And so I think this year they're not going to have a bunch of that unless they were doing it behind our back.
There's not many games I know that they have. And even then, you come to the fact that if they have this secret game in the works, are you going to announce Uncharted 4 and it's going to be out this year? I don't think so. It just doesn't work like that. So, sure. The most you can see is like a little teaser or something. I don't know. I'm going to go with the C, too, just because they usually don't, unless, like I said, some kind of flub, like a horrible mix-up, they usually don't hurt themselves. It's just pretty level. Now, if they throw out some kind of surprise announcement, who knows? Maybe it'll be better, but I'll go with the safe C. But I love what Microsoft did a few years ago. I hope they can go back to that. Sony, they're always safe. But every year, the one I want to see the most, who has the most to show or the most to not show, really, is Nintendo. They can either be the heroes or they can be the goats. And last year, they flopped. The year before was great, and previous years they flopped. But we're past the Wii now. I think they've kind of got over that. Now it's on to the Wii U, which there's also a rumor they're going to change the name of that thing. I don't know. To be expected, the Wii U, they're going to definitely have to talk about it better this year, because it is a new console. It's not just the Wii 2 1.5. It's, you know, it's more powerful than that. Well, we're not sure the specs, but it's going to be more powerful than the 360 and all. People said it was less. I don't... That was, like, misinterpreted. It was, like, shaders or some very specific thing. Anyways, so, yeah, the Wii U. It's going to be cool. Maybe. So, we got to see some new titles for it, or some launch titles. We haven't had a launch date, all this stuff. Pricing, that's what we'll find out. We have to flesh that console out. 3DS, it has to have some new games or some release dates, the ones they've announced. And of course, they'll delve into their big group of franchises and announce a few games. But what do you want to see Nintendo do after last year, Andrew? What do you want?
I want to see them go more into this Wii U. I would like to see them change the name, because the Wii U, just there's one name I wouldn't have given a new system. It would be the Wii U.
It's a bit confusing, and it sounds stupid.
But I would like to see them change the name, but I'd also like to see them not just show, like last year they showed like a montage video of the Wii U. I want them to actually
demo it.
Exactly. Spend time, get somebody up there who can actually go through this thing, turn it on.
Sure.
Show an interface system as to how it'll work. Show what it'll do when you start it up. What can it do in the games?
Exactly.
And what kind of performance it can have.
And it's funny, because I looked through the E3 thread we had last year, and that's what we all said after the Nintendo one was over. There was a video on Kotaku, I believe, of someone going through using it in that little Zelda demo. And we all were like, well, that would have been fucking great if they would have shown it on stage instead of just having all this kind of like, well, yeah, maybe it'll do this and that. Is it a Wii? Is it a new Wii? What is it? They got to be more solid with that. I definitely agree.
Mm-hmm. But I'd also like to see them improve their 3DS titles. And by that, I mean, they have a system here that can go either way they want it to. It can be a bit of a gimmicky thing, like
be the portable Wii.
Yeah, it's the portable Wii that's just in 3D, or they can have it where this is a totally separate system that we are going to build games around the idea of 3D without glasses.
Which I think Super Mario 3D Land was a pretty good example, because it was a very simple twist on the thing, but it did use the 3D. But Star Fox 3D, Zelda 3D, I mean, that's, you know, let's not just port stuff. We need, like I said, they need more experience this time. Travis tells me that the Mario Tennis game is actually very well done. You need more than just, this is the next Mario Tennis, or excuse me, you need more than this is the next Mario Kart. It's also in 3D. I like that. Like a Metroid game that revolves around 3D. Somebody had made the point, like old games like Castlevania or something, but sprite-based, but make them build the sprites in 3D where it creates like an effect. Because you always, if you look at a side-scroll like Mega Man or Castlevania, right, you're always walking and you're looking at that 2D plane, and the room, you know, it's, you're supposed to be in a room, you're just seeing it from the side. So what cooler way to make that room feel farther back, to give that true depth of, that'd be neat. Which is just a really kind of easy way of doing a game like that. But, and just also giving that 3D effect merit, I should say. But yeah, I do agree. They need to, they definitely have games coming out, but it'd be nice to see Paper Mario okay, Paper Mario's good, and that'll be a game like that has the depth of the 3D. That'll be fine. But how about, like you said, instead of playing it safe with stuff like that, let's have a Metroid that makes use of a 3D element. How? I don't know. That's up to them to come up with. But yeah, I agree. So yeah, we get it. Those are the two things. You gotta flesh out the Wii U, give me some games that I want day one, and strengthen the 3DS's library. And like I said, make it less gimmicky. But the gimmick's fine. That is the way they went, as compared to the Vita, which is pretty much not really gimmicky, and you can play Uncharted Go. And I'm like, who gives a shit? So, just like I did with the last two, surprises. What do you think they can show you to surprise you? Because with Nintendo, there's not going to be any really surprises with the console. It's going to be about the games, and what games can they show off?
Well, of course, you got the biggest hitter they have. You know, their home runner is the Zelda.
Which I think you might see something on the 3DS for Zelda, but I don't see, so close to Skyward Sword, I don't think they're going to announce a new one. I'm thinking that's next year.
You're perfectly right there. I mean, if it was a Zelda, it wouldn't be a major title, because that's just a little too soon.
Yeah, who knows how long they've been making one for the Wii U, because they said they were doing it. I'd see a Smash Brothers before Zelda. That would be neat.
But also, you told me before about a rumor that was
An interesting one. This is an interesting one. A crossover between Star Fox and Metroid. And the story's all about them crossing dimensions. But the idea basically devolved to Samus crashing on a planet and you switch control. You're doing the standard Metroid fare on the ground, but then it switches to Star Fox in the air. From what the rumor sounded like, it was not trying to blend the two, really. You weren't going to be flying around in Samus's spaceship, and you weren't going to be on foot shooting people as Fox. Which I thought sounded pretty awesome, to be honest. Retro Studios, a great studio making it. It was one of those rumors I know I talked to you about. It's kind of like, that just seems so bizarre. It has to be true. So that would be neat.
Yeah, and the thing I like about that as a big surprise, I would love that as a surprise, because it, just like comic books, it establishes a fact of a giant universe within
sure. Just like Smash Brothers.
Within one franchise or one company, they have this whole back universe that everyone can get involved.
Yeah, and that's the fun part about Smash Brothers, is especially the last one that had the story mode kind of. And you know, it's a bit corny, but that was the point of it. They have all these great characters, and it's fun to see them mash them up every once in a while. That would be neat. As for those could be, what do you think you'll see surprise-wise? What do you think they'll just show you?
I think they're going to show... See, I'm a bit torn here on saying this, but I think they're going to show more sequels to major franchises, because...
Sure.
I know they did that 2 years ago, I believe, is when they showed the big Donkey Kong and Kirby and all that stuff.
Yeah,
they had a big line of a bunch of great series that were well-established mm-hmm. coming back. And I think they're going to do that again, and that can be a good thing or a bad thing. It could either be seen as like a gimmick where, oh, now they're going to start doing like Call of Duty, not to that extreme, but they're going to start doing like that where they just, let's see what we already have and let's
sure.
put it on the block and the pile.
It's also Metroid and not Call of Duty. Yeah, I can see that. Especially because the Wii U, me and Bailey both agree, Mario number whatever is not going to get me out of my chair to buy a Wii U. I need something a bit more substantial.
Very true. But here's something I think. And I don't know what your reaction is going to be to it, but I'm going to say Capcom, with all of this thing that's going on with
No, I know where you're going
with
this.
I think that there's going to be a new Mega Man something on Nintendo.
Yeah, me and Bailey talked about how that was awesome. But of course, I'm a big Mega Man fan. I don't know. I'd love for them to. It's his 25th anniversary. Do something, please. But I don't know. I can't really tell what the state of that franchise is. I can't tell if they're just content to let it die or they're really going to come back and appease us. We can both agree that if he were to make a appearance on stage, which I don't know, if there'd be one place to do it, it would be with Nintendo. How about a Mega Man 3DS game? That'd be fine. How about Mega Man Legends 3? Bastards.
Well, that would be good. But, I can't see what is going on with Capcom, and it could go either way, where maybe they are just getting to be a strange company that's, like, losing its way. It's becoming like the sun who's a crack addict.
It definitely is. I actually saw a post someone made in the comment field. I'm going to read this on the podcast, because I thought this was pretty good. It was about Capcom. And this was just an analogy you came with. I thought, that is perfectly them. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
This is the analogy of Capcom. Are you ready? Talking in the first person. And this is just a random comment. Like, it says, I grow oranges for a living and I do well. Because of my experiences, I make excellent oranges. I sell a good amount, but I don't sell as much as the apple farmers do. So now I've decided to make apples. Sure, I'm no good at making apples, but fuck that. I want to make as much as the apple farmer. And fuck my loyal customers who like my oranges. They don't make me enough money. Which I thought was pretty funny. And that is like the perfect analogy for Capcom. Kind of some companies are good at straddling that line between profitability and customer loyalty, Nintendo being one. Yeah, Capcom's long past that.
I could also see, I could see something going the other way where it's like they were expecting a big Mega Man thing and they had something on the back burner for it, and they wanted to do something, but they didn't want to give it away, and so they were very bad at keeping it a secret, and so that's why it came off like they were just assholes about the whole thing and how they were just mean about it and just didn't want to talk about it.
They were mean about it, but they did announce those games a bit early. Mega Man Legends 3 could have come and gone without anybody knowing. I think they regret making that dev room and all, but still, they handled all that the wrong way. Anyways, enough about Nintendo, and don't even get me started on Mega Man, but as an end, just like we did with the other two, what do you think is going to happen? Like, once again, no hopes, just give me a letter grade and what you think is going to happen.
I'm going to give Nintendo a solid B.
Okay.
Maybe a B+, if they can handle what they want to do, a B+. Not surprising me, just being able to handle it. A B+. No problems, no disasters, anything like that. But what I think they're going to do is they're going to first come out, they're going to start maybe one or two games to sort of lighten the mood. Then they're going to come out with the Wii U stuff. They're going to spend a good portion of the thing talking about the Wii U and what it does. And then they're going to end on maybe some exciting things, maybe some crazy things, or maybe just some things that we're expecting.
Yeah. B+, that sounds about right. But once again, the ball's in their court. They do need to explain the Wii U, but I feel like they have the most to gain. It's their show to steal if they just go the route we think. Them and Microsoft, I believe, are poised to have interesting conferences. Nintendo always is, but they're their own worst enemy. Microsoft, I don't know. If they can surprise me with some stuff, that'd be cool. But yeah, Nintendo. I'm thinking B+, right around there. I think they can do it. So there, E3. Just a quick overview, reminding you of some stuff. We don't know what to expect. Very close, and I do look forward to it. I think it will be interesting this year. A lot of stuff happening.
Very true.
So with that, we actually have a pretty meaty little rapid fire to dig into here, so let's get to it, Andrew.
Okay.
All right, so first off in the rapid fire, I'm quite pleased to tell this to you because I know you'll get a kick out of it. The Old Republic, it has officially crashed. They have laid off, I believe, half of the development team with more to come. It will become one-third of the original size, the team that worked on The Old Republic. Lost money out the ass. Not really a success. So what do you think about The Old Republic pretty much dying?
I'm grinning ear to ear on this news. I'm very excited. I knew it would happen. I was expecting it to happen, and it did happen. I think it's a good lesson learned for everyone else out there. It's a good way to point the finger and show them a prime example of people with bad ideas who have the handling of what goes on in the gaming industry.
MMOs, they're definitely on the debt, like a Western, out in Korea and stuff like that. They still kind of flourish, but I think we're finding that World of Warcraft really kind of a fad, and more than that, a very special case that came along at the right time. MMOs are kind of dead, which makes me wonder about the Elder Scrolls MMO. I think it might crash just the same, because I don't think it offers... You're just so bound by the rules of programming for one of these. I don't think these things will ever really take off like World of Warcraft did. I think either they're going to start disappearing completely, or there needs to be another World of Warcraft that comes along and reinvents it, because it's really hurting now. Next. Up next, Diablo 3 release to pretty good reviews, but apparently the game's short, and the controversy is it is always online to play, which means if you do not have an active internet connection, you cannot play the game, and that has made a lot of gamers quite irate because it's had all kinds of connectivity problems. So, Andrew, what's your opinion on Diablo 3?
I've never really gotten into the, they call it dungeon crawling, the name for it?
Yeah, look at Diablo, hack and slash dungeon crawl, yeah, sure.
Never really gotten into them. Don't hate them, but just don't find any appeal to them personally. But the thing that I don't get is there's just a huge following for it online. There are people who do nothing but talk about this thing all hours of the day. And not saying I hate it, not saying I hate the people who talk about it, I just don't get it. I feel like the old man who's looking at the teenagers listening to the new music. I'm not getting it. I don't see it.
I get you. I don't know. I was never huge on Diablo games, and Travis says it's fun. I just have no incentive to pick it up, and I just kind of worry about the precedent this sets because it sold really well, and it's kind of scary that this online, this always online DRMs might become commonplace because that's really quite inconvenient. If I buy a game and the internet's out, I should still be able to play it because I paid the fucking money for it.
Oh, yeah. The same thing happened with Mass Effect 3. I tried to turn it on a little while back, and it just kept trying to sign in to the EA servers, and I couldn't even play single player because it stuck me in the signing in menu. So I couldn't even click on any main menu options to play even single player. So I had a dead game right there for a while.
Well, I think that's a bit different, but still, it's a problem. I don't like that becoming commonplace. Next. Next up, we'll talk about some superhero news. Lego Batman 2 is actually going to kind of turn into a Justice League game a little bit, so I'll let you gush on that for Banjo. But another thing, Mark Hamill, who said he'd never play the Joker again, is now apparently playing him again in a video game. It's a DC Online expansion, I believe, so The Last Laugh or something. So, I don't know, Andrew, what do you think about Lego Batman 2? And what do you think him doing this, does that mean something else for the future of these games?
I'm going to start with the Lego Batman 2. I'm going to say that those Lego series, I've never gotten into them. They've always done great subjects. Indiana Jones, Batman,
Star Wars.
They've always gone into the good subjects, and I'd love to see a sort of game made by fans or people who like the series. But it's just that Lego games are intolerable. There's nothing to them that are exciting. But this time they're putting voice acting in, and they're putting an open world exploration in there. And I think that it'll be like the cherry flavored medicine. It'll be able to make it go down easier. I think that'll make it playable.
Yeah, I have no interest in it whatsoever. No matter what the gameplay is just not fun to me. As for the Mark Hamill thing, I wonder, since he said he'd never do, well, not really kind of like adamant about it, like he's done the performance of his life. It was just kind of the consequences of Arkham City would be like the last hurrah for him. But I wonder if he's going to do it in this. Who knows? Maybe the Joker comes back for Arkham City 3, 2, whatever it would be.
The thing I want to say about the Mark Hamill thing is it rustles my jimmies.
Oh, God.
It was this whole idea. I put it together that Mark Hamill said he wasn't coming back for the Joker to do the voice of Joker anymore. So that's why they did what they did in Arkham City. Hmm. I don't know if I want to ruin the ending for people.
Spoiler, Joker dies at the end. I just did it.
Oh, okay. But that's why they killed off the Joker, so that they wouldn't have to worry about him not coming back. And now that he's doing a voice for DC Online expansion, it kind of makes me mad.
Trivialize it.
And now it's just, I hated the ending of killing off the Joker. I thought that was a bit stupid. Anticlimactic. And so to do that and then just have that happen, it was making a big deal over something that basically unless it's meant nothing.
Yeah, I don't think that was the reason they killed him off. I think the story, the way it kind of worked, it was a bit tragic like that. I think that kind of worked. The game. I thought that was a pretty neat ending, actually. Now, the whole ending sequence and how you got to it, maybe not, but I thought the whole we're not going to get into spoiling the game, but I thought that was pretty neat. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but it is interesting since he said he wouldn't do it. Next. Here's something that I've been seeing more and more often. A new trend. Kickstarter, right, which is some just basically donation websites. A lot of games are getting funding through the fans, which more or less gives them the capital to develop the games, and a lot of them offer incentives for more download, and you get the game, I'm pretty sure, for most of them. But what do you think about this new trend? Is it dangerous? Is it neat? What?
I'm not going to say it's dangerous, but it's one of those deals where the most you can do is patronize it, but that isn't necessarily a bad thing, because Wastelander 2, that was a good story. That was a good thing to talk about, because it was a game that some people wanted back, and it got the money off that Kickstarter to do it, and now they're coming back to do it. And
sure.
So it's a good story. It's a nice idea. It's a nice thing to go back and talk about later as a footnote. But now you're starting to see games and games and games popping up off this Kickstarter who are all thinking, okay, now I can do my thing. And most of them are going to be terrible ideas. And so it just opens the door. It's a good idea to have, that games can come out even if they don't get the backing by major companies or something. Even if they can't get the big capital, they can still maybe make it if they're good enough. But for every one success story, you're going to hear about 100 people who expected their game to do huge and failed.
But here's the real question, I say. Because once this Tim Schafer for Double Fine, who made all those popular games back in the day, he got a game funded to this, which was that was really what it all started from. Once that happened, people went to Capcom. And asked them why couldn't they do why couldn't we just donate to get Legends 3 made? And they made the comment that, does that really work for a big company? Would you buy the game after you paid us to make it? I don't know, which I thought was kind of strange, because that is a dangerous precedent. You know? If I donated for it to be made, then I should get to play it. I don't know. There just seems to be no future with that in any realm of some meaningful game. Sure, there's some fringe stuff, but I think it's basically, it's good for like revivals. So, you know, me and you make a game and we own the rights to it, and then someone likes it, and 10 years later we make a sequel. That's neat, but I think this is another fad. We'll see that going away quickly. Next. In news that I don't even want to touch, there's a Street Fighter 25th anniversary box that, Andrew, maybe you know what's in it. It costs $150. I'm not quite sure what's in it because the mere thought makes me want to gag. What do you think about this?
From what I got, I think the whole anniversary box is, it's got a couple of gimmicky things. You got like a black belt.
That you sure. And like a statue.
Like
yeah.
Yeah, and like a statue, things like that. Art books, stuff, little gimmicky stuff. But then it's all got like just a whole huge library of discs that have all the games that have already come out under that series.
So, even newer ones?
Yeah, I think at like arcade games, Street Fighter II Turbo and stuff like that. Oh, okay. A bunch of things that, you know, I don't have a list in front of me, but the whole idea is it's the other stuff that they've released on the new consoles that were the retro stuff from before.
Sure.
And I think, I don't know if they have four on there or
cross Tekken
or anything like that, but for the most part, it's supposed to be a whole bundling of ideas, the bundling of everything leading up to this 25th anniversary.
Interesting. I will say that I would buy one and smash it to pieces. Just because. It's also Mega Man's 25th anniversary, and we've seen neither hide nor hair of them, and that's just tragic.
I don't think I'd go so far as to smash it. I wouldn't really buy it, but
fair enough.
I think it is. It's a grab for money on a
hot franchise right now. Fighting games have made a resurgence, and they're going to crash too because Tekken, Street Fighter Cross Tekken, did not sell that well. I don't know. I really like that analogy I had for the Capcom thing. I think that sums them up well. Next. All right, our final topic, my favorite series to talk about, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3. Whereas most games, like Mass Effect or something, will add stuff for free, a new mode like this, you can buy a bunch of maps you already have and a new mode. Whoa, a new mode of multiplayer. But they're going to charge you $15. Andrew, what do you think about this?
I think that's absolutely absurd. That's about the price for a new game on Xbox Live Arcade. And that's just, to be honest, I can't understand how they do so well if they do such
awful things, close to criminal acts,
close to stealing money as they can get. You know, yeah. I don't know how they keep getting people to buy them if people are just getting their money taken away from them like that.
I just don't get it because there's no evolution in the gameplay. It's all tired. Even Black Ops, that people acted like it was some new thing, was the same old shit. I don't get it. I want it to die. I want it to die. I want it to die. I just keep repeating that, and maybe it'll eventually happen. And with that, that will do it for Rapid Fire. Whee!
Excellent.
All right. With that, podcast done. That's what I'm saying. Hey, we did it in 2 weeks, so we didn't commit to a schedule, and we actually hit that schedule. Assuming this doesn't all fall apart in post, so that's cool. Nicely done, sir.
Thank you, sir. Nicely done to you.
Next podcast, I want to say, think of it 2 weeks from again today, because we'll do it at the end of the week of E3, which is June 4th, June 5th, June 6th, and June 7th. We can wrap all that up then.
We'll have a lot to talk about.
Sure, and I will leave you with one last thing when we're signing off, Andrew. Just snap decision. Mm-hmm. If there's one game you want to see at E3, what does it go?
I want to see more on Zelda, to be honest.
More Zelda?
New Zelda. I'm sorry. New Zelda. Give me another Wind Waker. Give me something that's different.
Wow. That's crazy. I'm going Mega Man, it would just be a pipe dream, but Bayonetta 2, where's that game? Because that game sold pretty well. It needs a sequel. I can't believe we haven't heard about it yet. But that's my snap, man. And with that, I will say we'll see y'all on the forums at E3 and all that. A couple weeks, enjoy it, and we will see you on the flip side.
Bye, guys.
I meant, like, do you think you're going to see it at the show? Are they going to show it, like, during their press conference, or is it next year?
Oh, well.
Shit.
Steak.
Very well, then.
I misheard.
I can see it now. It's like, I asked this question, like, I'm sitting here, like, doodling, waiting for the, no, I don't think I'll see it there. Well, let me tell you about, like, you just get done with this huge
chalkboard start right now.
Yeah, you have this whole, like, Pepe Silvia connection thing. Like, I'm just looking for, like, oh, no, I just meant if you're going to see it.
It's just like, you see the yes and no checkbox, so that's a no?
No? Yeah.
It's Ridge Racer. Ridge Racer. Remember that one? All right, so let me go right ahead, get right into the game. Oh, this brings back memories. I don't know if it's just me, but here we go.